Amen. Isn't that good news to know that the Comforter has come? That we have not been left as orphans, but that He has promised and He is faithful and He is here. He is with us today. Well, I have my phone up in front of me, not because I'm a techie pastor, but because I want to remind you to silence yours. From the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If you abide, if you make your home, your dwelling place, the place where you live and move and have your being, if you make that in Jesus' words, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's bow before the One who is truth. Father God, today as we gather here, it is so good to be in this place. Not to be gathered to the church, but the church gathering together to worship You. Father, I pray that as we gather today, You would have Your way and Your will among us. I pray, Lord, that You would comfort us, that You would encourage us, that You would convict us. But most of all, Father, I pray that as we gather here today, and as You have Your way and Your will in our hearts, that we would be more and more conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that when we leave here, the people will know that we have met Jesus. Help us today, because we cannot be what we know You want us to be apart from You. So meet us here in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, you'll remember, is Jesus talking to His disciples just before He goes to the cross of Calvary. He is trying to encourage them for what is yet ahead. Jesus knows where He's going. Jesus knows what He's doing. He has set His face to Jerusalem to give His life as a ransom for many. But His disciples at this point really don't understand. They don't really get it. And they think He has set His face to Jerusalem so that He could become the king that they have been looking for. The righteous ruling leader that would lead Israel into prosperity, that would vanquish the Romans and do away with the internal conflict and strife. All great things and all a part of the promise that God had given to the nation of Israel. A promise that we still long for, a promise that we still look for when Christ will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But before that, Jesus set His face to Jerusalem to set us free from sin and shame and separation from the God who loves us. And so He's going there to die. And as He goes there, He's telling them, "You can't come with Me." And Peter says, "I'll go with you, whatever, and I will do whatever." And Jesus says to Peter, "Before the cock crows, you will deny Me 3 times. And then He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Can you imagine? This little band, this little gathering, this little group, they think they are following the King of Kings into Jerusalem. He's just told them someone's going to betray Him. He's kind of indicating that He's going to His death. They think they're following the Messiah. They think they've attached their caboose, as it were, to the train that leads to victory. And the wheels are about to come off. And Jesus is trying to prepare them. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Literally, it's stop letting your hearts be troubled. Quit it. You know how many times as a pastor I would like to just look at some of you and say, just quit it. Just stop already. Well, Jesus had the nerve to do it. Of course, he was, you know, Son of God, so. Let not your hearts be troubled. Quit being troubled. Quit worrying. Quit stressing out. Quit worrying about all this stuff. You believe in God. Keep believing in God. Keep trusting him. Keep your eyes on him and believe in me too. Believe in the work that I'm doing. Believe in the thing that I'm telling you. And in this passage, he tells them, because they say they don't know the way, and he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so you have this teaching going on where Jesus is trying to prepare them for his death and his departure. And then we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're in this season where we're focusing on different aspects of the names of the Holy Spirit, the character of the Holy Spirit. And we started by saying that the Holy Spirit, first of all, is the Holy Spirit, which means that he is other. He is different. We know what the spirit of man is. We know what the spirit of this world is. We know what the spirit of this dark age is. The Holy Spirit is different, other, separate, higher, purer. It's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, who is our helper. So in John 14, we looked at 15 and following. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, a counselor, an advocate, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, letters to the church by Francis Chan, he kind of starts, and there are some passages at the beginning that he says, would you just stop and listen to what you just read? Just stop already and listen. Look close. Allow this speed bump to really slow you down. Do you realize what Jesus just said to them? I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. I'm going to skip. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You should be having Holy Ghost goosebumps right now. Do you realize that God has chosen to make his home in you? Very God, a very God, has chosen to come and dwell, make his habitation, his home within you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Also, oh no. I mean, Let me give you a visual image. Many of you know I live next door. That's where my home is on earth. You've heard the poem, perhaps, about Jesus coming to the door. Do you rush to the door and throw it open and welcome him with open arms? Or do you go around the house first, picking up all the stuff and putting it away, hiding things, closing and locking specific doors that you don't want him into? None of you live like I do, so you probably just throw the door open and say, oh, Jesus, welcome. Come into my home. My house is yours. Every nook, every cranny, every corner. Make yourself at home. See, that's what Jesus does through the indwelling, empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, as he comes to dwell in us. But one of the things that we have to get very clear is that any home that Jesus moves into is no longer the original tenant's home. He is the Lord. He is the one who calls the shots. You've heard of house rules, right? How many of you have house rules? Do you ever have house rules? Okay. And when you have these house rules, you see, the family is expected to conform to the rules, right? They're supposed to do those things. Now, there's grace, and there's coaching. And we had children, and we had our chores chart up there. I mean, we didn't go and just beat them bloody if they didn't fill out their chores chart right. But the chores were there. You see, there was a measuring line that was stretched. There was a way established by which they knew whether or not they were doing what they were supposed to do, whether or not they conformed to the house rules. We understand this. You understand this, don't you? It operates in every area of life. You go to school, I remember, you know, some schools you have a dress code. That's kind of a thing of the past for a lot of places, but where Emily works, it's not. If you go to a church school especially, they'll have a dress code. I remember how much my daughters rebelled against the dress code. They disliked the dress. This isn't fair. But guess what they did? They aligned themselves with the standard, an external measure of whether or not they were dressing in accordance with the rules. Well, one of the things that I want to do as we talk about the Spirit of Truth is I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit comes into our life as the Spirit of Truth rather than as a spirit of lies or falsehood or deception. Let me just read something. Etymologically, aletheia, which is truth, has the meaning of non-concealment. It thus indicates a matter or state to the extent that it is seen, indicated, or expressed, and that in such seeing, indication, or expression, it is disclosed or discloses itself as it really is. So the Spirit of Truth is a Spirit of God that comes into our life and makes God known to us as he really is. It's the Spirit of God who comes to us and says, this is in alignment and conformity with the truth, that which really is. It denotes the full or real state of affairs. It provides, if you will, a measuring line. It provides a way for us to come into alignment. Now, I haven't done this, and I'm not going to, because I built it, and I don't want to be ashamed. But we have a sound booth back there that I made in the past. And as I stand here, it looks plumb, it looks square, it looks straight, it looks vertical. But I have never actually put a plumb line on that sound booth that I made. You know what a plumb line is? A plumb line is a line with an unmagnetized weight at the bottom. Why unmagnetized? Because the earth has a magnetic field and it can pull it one way or another. Okay? And it shows you what true vertical is. Now, who uses plumb lines? Come on, I know I have some carpenter craftsman kind of people. Okay, we have people there. You, Justin, you've used a plumb line before? What's it do? How do you use it? What were you using it for? Making sure that what you're building is straight up and down. What were you building at the time?
I was leveling out some different walls and equipment stuff.
You were leveling out walls and?
Wells.
Wells. Oh, wells.
Like
big storage tanks. Yeah, you want those to be level, don't you? Yeah. Brian, you've used a plumb line, haven't you? What have you used it for?
To prove that something is correct.
To prove that something is correct. See, he's going all theological on me. We're in church. When you were building with that plumb line, were you trying to prove that something was correct, or were you trying to make sure that what you were building was correct according to the plumb line?
Yes,
according to the plumb line. You see, the plumb line is an outside objective measure of reality that is true. It is true. Now, when you're building something, say that I am a mason and I am building a wall and I need that wall to end at a specific spot and I want that wall to be very straight, very accurate. I don't want that wall to go up and go like this. How many of you want to live in a house that does that? Unless you're people who like igloos. You know, you don't want it to do that. You want it straight. You want to know that it's straight. Not only do you want it to be straight up and down this way, but you don't want it to be going gradually farther this way. You want it to be square and true. God has set a plumb line. Amos tells us in Amos 7, verse 7. This is what he showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel. I will never again pass them by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. You see, when God set his plumb line against the house of Israel, he noticed that the house of Israel was very crooked. It was out of whack. What do you do with a wall that's out of whack? You tear it down and you start over again. You have to bring it back into alignment with the plumb line. The spirit of truth is like that for us. It identifies for us that which is true and what we need to set as a standard for our heart. Now, one of the reasons that I am focusing on this is because one of the things that has been happening as I have been reading about the Holy Spirit, and as I have been thinking about the Holy Spirit's names, and as I have been looking at what Jesus wrote to his disciples, is there's an awful lot in here about obedience. You remember I got to that last week, that he's a helper, and part of the reason he's a helper is because if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's the very first thing it says there. If you love me, you will do what I told you to do. And we need a helper because we are inclined to evil instead of inclined to holiness. And as I'm looking at this, the spirit of truth sets a plumb line in our soul so that we can measure where we are. Now, the plumb line isn't there to condemn us, but when our actions and our behaviors don't line up, something needs to change. And Brian, how much good does it do to change the plumb line? That's called deception. What if you notice a little bulge in your wall, so you say, oh, well, I'll just pull the rope out, the line out a little bit here, so no one notices. That doesn't work. You get a sloppy building. You get something that's not made right. You get something that won't hang together. And God is building a building. Did you know that? What's he building? He's building the church, but more than that, what is the church? His kingdom. But what is it? It's not just a house. It's a special kind of house. It's a temple. The temple of God. He's building it. And what's he using as stones? Us. And what has to happen to those stones? They have to be brought into conformity with his will and his purpose so that they fit the place in the wall that he has, so that we can be a temple that brings glory and honor to his holy name. But we have to submit to him and to his righteousness rather than asking him to bend for us. And one of the problems that I had, I was talking with my brother Art, and he said this is a difficult lesson this morning that he had to do. And his was difficult because it was, he thought it was maybe perhaps repetitive, and he didn't want to become boring and all those kinds of things. And this message this morning for me is one that is a little bit hard for a different reason. Because the Spirit of truth points out error. The Spirit of truth deals with that which is out of alignment. The Spirit of truth convicts. The Spirit of truth deals with sin. And if someone has told me this week there's sin in the camp, what are you going to do about it? Well, brothers and sisters, hear me clearly. I told them it's not actually my job to deal with sin. It's the Spirit of truth's job to deal with sin. But there is a Spirit of truth. And we need to learn to align our lives with the plumb line of the Spirit of truth rather than saying, I want to do this or I want to do that. God is gracious. God is forgiving. I can live my life how I want. He's promised to forgive me. But so much in God's word says, obey me. Now, and it's difficult then for another reason, because am I saying that it's your works that save you? No, I'm not. Hallelujah, God is gracious. Hallelujah, even before we accepted Christ, he loved us and he died for us. The cross of Calvary existed before the foundations of the world. God had a plan to redeem us, to buy us back, to put us in right harmony with himself. And it has absolutely nothing to do with you. It is by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Hallelujah. You need to be saying that right now, because I'm about to lay on you. I'm about to start doing a tap dance on toes, so you better rejoice in the grace that we got, right? But see, the problem is the church today focuses way too much on grace and not enough on doing the will of God. And Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven? Perfectly. Absolutely. That's how it's done. And when we're praying that, what are we praying? We're praying, Lord, set a plumb line in my soul and help me to measure up to it. Help me to come into alignment with you instead of expecting you to come into alignment with me. I'm over here doing my own thing to my own glory for my own reasons because I have a lot of fun doing it. And thank you for blessing me and thank you for ministering to me and thank you for giving me. I love this church family. It's such a great place to feel warm and cozy and comfortable. But it's not in alignment with the truth. It's not in alignment with the Spirit of truth. You see, we need to confront that. We need to deal with that. Each and every single one of us. Or the house gets all wonky. And the walls fall down and the temple of God looks hideous instead of glorious. Does that make sense? You tracking with me? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And the Spirit of truth is there to help us to know what those commandments are, to help us to know what we're supposed to do. He comes and he doesn't leave us as orphans. The world won't see him, but we will see him. Whoever has my commandments, verse 21 says, and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I don't know about you, but I want to see more of Jesus. I want to enjoy the radiance of his face. You see, I'm standing on a road now, and I want to plant a vision in your mind of where this trail, this journey, this road goes. It goes to glory. It goes to that which is beautiful. It goes to that which is beyond words, that which cannot be described. It goes to the radiant presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of his glory, where we can worship him. That's where this journey goes. And he's trying to get us to conform our lives to the character qualities of the kingdom. To conform our actions and our behaviors to the house rules of heaven. So that when we get there, we won't feel awkward and uncomfortable and out of place. Where we will really fit in and we'll have joy. But I want you to notice it's not just about out there. Did you read that verse with me? Did you hear it? Did it sink into your soul? Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. So let me ask you something. If you're not doing what you know God wants you to do, what does that say? That you don't love him. Not really. But you don't love him. And you can make excuses. But Jesus is the one that said this, not me. And he's the one that stretches the plumb line, not me. And he's the one against whom we measure ourselves, not me. So don't get offended with me. He it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and what? And manifest myself to him. You see, it's not just out there. It's here. I'll do it now. I'll make myself known to you now. I will make myself visible to you now. I will make myself present to you now. I will manifest myself to you. But what do you have to do? You have to submit to the plumb line, the Spirit of truth. You have to allow the Spirit of truth to change your behaviors. Now the good news is that Spirit of truth is a helper. And I'm not standing here telling you that you have to do this. What I'm standing here telling you is that you need to submit to God and let him do it. That whole abide in me and I in you thing. So the question that I have for you, do you love Jesus? Does your life bear that out? Or when the Spirit of truth, the plumb line, is put against your soul, does it show that you're really out of whack? And that you need some major adjustments. Now, hear me. There's no one in this room who doesn't need adjustments. And I'm going to raise both hands here on this one. Okay? There's nobody in this room that doesn't need adjustments. But I am going to ask you, are you purposely, intentionally striving to align yourself by the power of God and the Spirit of God that dwells within you with his truth? That which is really real. Doing what he wants, and it's really rather simple. Love God. Love others. As Art said in Sunday school class this morning, do unto others that which you would have them do unto you. For that sums up, not sums up, that is the whole of the law and the prophets. So how well are you doing? You see, this is all about dying to self and putting others ahead of yourself. It's all about that famous phrase that I say. It's not about you. It's about God. Because it's about God, it's about others. You see, that's what it's always about. And how are you doing? How many great buildings can be built if the carpenters and the workmen ignore the plumb line? And yet so often we ignore the plumb line that God has given us, the Spirit of Truth, who wants to pull us into alignment with the will of God and the heart of God and the purpose of God. This passage, the Spirit of Truth idea, we live in a world under the sway of Satan. You know that? And what is Satan? He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's an accuser. So we need the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth to abide in us. The Spirit of Truth to make its home in us. We need to fling the doors of our soul open wide and say, come in. Check every nook and cranny, measure every wall and every counter and every space. Point out to me every flaw, and then help me, because I can't fix it. But you can. And I will submit to you. I had another visual image that I was going to share this morning of a jointer. If you want a couple of crooked boards to come together, you got to joint them. That's a couple of three blades that are whirling really rapidly. And you pass the wood over it and it takes stuff away. Oh, may the jointer of our souls have his way with each one of us so that we can be joined together in harmony to build the temple of God as a glorious, beautiful thing that is plumb and true to him. It's not going to be easy. Not because you have to work hard, because you don't do the work, the Holy Spirit does, but because you have to allow him to do it. And sometimes it's painful. But which would you rather have? To see your life in alignment with the will and the word and the purposes of God so that you're plumb and true in his temple? Or the comforts of Satan's deceptions that say it really doesn't matter? Has God really said? Yes, God really has said. And yes, we really do need to be in alignment with him. So that all we have, all that we are, all that we want, all that we need is summed up in Jesus Christ and him alone. Well, Father, today as we close, I'm not sure how well I have communicated, but I pray that your Spirit has communicated to the hearts of those who are gathered here today. And in the quietness of this moment, Lord, I pray that you would stretch your plumb line in the heart and soul and the mind of each one of us. And I pray, Father, that we would be willing to look honestly at that plumb line and say, I'm sorry, Father. I didn't realize I was so far out of alignment. Would you help me? Would you reshape and rebuild my life so that I can be true to you, to your word and to your spirit, which is truth? Today, as we continue to pray, I would just invite you to allow the Holy Spirit a moment to search you and try you. And if there's something out of whack, there's a sin, a covetous desire of your flesh, a covetous desire for the things of this world rather than the things of God. If there's a sin that the Holy Spirit would confront you of, that would point out to you that there's something wrong with your heart, with your life, with your devotion, would you be willing today just to give that to God? And say, Father, here it is. I see it. I realize this is out of alignment with you. I realize that this is a part of my life that's not true. It's not as it ought to be. It doesn't measure up to your standards and to your will. It doesn't fit me for your kingdom. Forgive me. And help me, because I'm pretty comfortable here. And I don't know that I can make the change. In fact, Father, I know I can't. So would you help me by the indwelling, empowering presence of your Spirit, the one who not only reveals where I'm out of whack, but the one who can help me come into alignment. Because I do love you, and I do want every area of my life to be in alignment with you. So here it is, Father. Whatever it is, I give it to you, so that all I have is Christ. For it's in his name and to his glory that we pray. Amen. Please stand as we close in song.
Thank you.
Amen. I pray that that is your prayer today, that all I have is Christ. And I pray that as you go today, you would allow God the Father, through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary, to establish within you the plumb line of truth. May you walk with that helper in a way so that your life is conformed to the image of Christ. God bless you as you go.